Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Is Malik Willis making things interesting at Tennessee Titans training camp? I saw, you know, they had the practice out there at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. And I just want to read the tweet from Sam Phelan from A to Z Sports. Malik Willis was awesome today in front of fans at Nissan Stadium. Maybe his best practice in a Titans uniform. So Malik Willis turning some heads on Saturday at the practice at Nissan Stadium. So my question for you is, do we feel like Malik Willis has a legitimate chance to win the backup quarterback spot? What will he have to do in the preseason to actually win the backup quarterback job? And do Titans fans have any appetite whatsoever for Malik Willis winning the job and being the backup quarterback?
Well, some Titans fans, you mentioned Malik Willis. Call Malik Willis! Why? Calm down. Calm down. Go look around the league and look at all these teams. They have at least three quarterbacks in camp. So why would you not want Malik Willis to still be here? And good for him. I've thought that before Saturday, he's done some good things. He's looked pretty good out there. I think he's improving. This is a classic training camp storyline. This is a classic. But, I mean, backup quarterback's important. And, frankly, I have also not been overly gaga about what I've seen from Mason Rudolph. I don't think there's some humongous gap there. It's just Rudolph, obviously, on Sundays in actual NFL games, has looked like an NFL quarterback at times, has had pretty extensive experience, has done some good things, and we've seen Malik Willis in games, and it hasn't gone well. Does that mean Malik Willis couldn't take a huge leap with new head coach, who's obviously a quarterback whispering head coach and a new OC and a quarterback coach and all this stuff and a new offense? No, I mean, I've always thought he was talented. I've always thought he had a great attitude. He's plugged away, and I just, you know, I don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But the whole quest for Malik Willis right now is to lock yourself in for one of the great jobs in America, backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say there's absolutely no way that he could outperform Mason Rudolph and make it really interesting at QB2. I still, right now, you force me to bet, I'm going to bet on Mason Rudolph, the guy they paid to be QB2 and a guy who has started in the NFL. But preseason games will be interesting. We're excited about the starters actually playing some and getting to watch some of that. But these guys are going to still play most of the snaps between them, Rudolph and Willis. And so that'll help tell the story too. Now, who gets, you know, it's like who gets OL2 versus like OL half two, half three, or whatever it is. That's part of the equation too. But good for him for having a day.
Yeah, good for him for having a day. I'm with you. This is a total training camp headline grabbing storyline. Like, my question is, like, what realistically has to happen? Like, Mason Rudolph signed a deal worth $2.8 million per year. Now, that's not a ton of money in today's NFL, but it's not nothing either. Like, they clearly signed him to be the backup quarterback. Like, and that's what we talked about heading into camp. Like, Brian Callahan talked about it being a competition and that Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis can get even reps. And you're right, they're going to probably split time in the preseason games. And I believe all that. I also look at the deal that he signed and the fact that he has played meaningful football games in the league. And I wonder, like, is Malik Willis actually winning the job even realistic? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, to me, it would probably have to take a combination of Malik Willis playing really, really well and Rudolph being bad. Like, that's probably the combination that it would have to be. I'm not going to dismiss that as a possibility, but I just think when you look at the actual games that have been played and Mason Rudolph, it's not like Mason Rudolph has gone out there and looked like, you know, Tom Brady, but he's played reasonably well at times in the role that he's been asked to play. So that's actual NFL regular season games, and this is practice. So how much do you weigh the practice part of it when there's a guy there that has demonstrated that he can be an effective backup quarterback in the National Football League? That's why, like, I think it would take a lot for Malik Willis to actually win the job. I think it would take a special combination of him playing really, really well and Rudolph playing poorly enough to where the coaching staff looks around and says, ooh, I don't know. Mason Rudolph hadn't looked very good this camp.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, how much of the next few weeks, how do you weigh that against 21 games, 13 starts, an 8-4-1 record, 63.5% completion, you know, 19 touchdowns, 11 picks, 86.9 rating. That's all pretty good. It's all, you know, it's, he's done some good, and yeah, anybody who's watched him, he's done some really good things as a quarterback on Sundays. And Malik Willis, just frankly, has not. He just has not looked comfortable out there. And so even if there's a gap, and there's not, Malik Willis had one good day. So, like, let's keep that in context. But even if there's a gap between them in performance, how big would it have to be? I would say, like you said, it would have to be a pretty big gap, one, and because of Rudolph really underperforming consistently, for that to outweigh the reason that they paid Mason Rudolph based on his track record.
Well, and then to that point, you know, there's the new quarterback rule. So what do you do with Malik after that? Like, do you call him up? Do you carry three quarterbacks on a game day? Like, how do you view all that? Do you use him like they used him last year, where they run jet sweeps to him and throw wide receiver reverse passes to him? I don't know.
If you have Malik Willis, and, you know, again, if he's active, then, yeah, I'd do some stuff like that. But the question could be, of course, if it goes the way I still think it's going to go, it's – if you expose him to waivers, is there somebody out there who's signing him to their active roster?
And I still think that the answer to that is probably no. Now, that is where the preseason games, I think, would matter a lot, because if he goes out there and he looks great in the preseason, well, then the answer to that might start to change.
Could change.
If you're Malik Willis.
Yeah. No, well, it could. So, first of all, it's just good for him. I mean, it's, again, like, it's not his fault that he has not been good enough. He has also been playing. We always give all the excuses for Tannehill and all these guys for how bad the offensive line's been and stuff. It's the same crap he's had to deal with. It's just that, obviously, you know, he's struggled to, like, get through the progressions and things like that and get the ball out quickly enough. So can you fix that? Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I think you can fix that and work on that, you know? It's just a matter of, like, how much. I mean, one good day. Again, he's been – I think he's looked pretty good so far. But not like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
This is a totally different guy. And it is different. It's just different when you're playing in a game, when people are tackling you to the ground and things like that. And, I mean, he almost beat Patrick Mahomes. We shouldn't forget that. But you know, he almost out-dueled Patrick Mahomes.
It's true.
On a Sunday Night Football game. But, no, but in all seriousness – It's not a bad thing for the Titans to have anybody like that improving and getting better and making things interesting.
Well, and to your point earlier, like, there's no reason to move on from him right now. I mean, it's not like he's very expensive. You're still developing a quarterback, and nobody is under any illusion that Malik Willis is going to be the Titans starter at some point in the future. But we've said this basically from last year on. Like, if he eventually got to the point where you felt good about him being a backup, like, to me, that's a win for Malik Willis at this point, whether it's this year or not. Like, if he's the third quarterback again this year, and then you feel okay about him being the backup next year, then that's a – if he gets to a point in his career, Titans or elsewhere, where he's a reliable backup quarterback, And I think that's a win based on where this thing started.
That's huge. That's I know no one's going to say, you know, put that on the wall, like, I will be a backup quarterback in this league. But, yes. Hey, that's hard to be. So that is the realistic quest for him, is to entrench himself in this league. So, again, I think he's getting better, so good on him for doing that. And these preseason games will definitely mean something in that way. It's hard for me to get a real feel for Rudolph, too. You know, again, the reps so far from what I've seen, early on I was like counting. It was like, yep, exactly the same. Been about the same. You're so focused on Levis, right?
Yeah.
That it's, but I will say that, again, I don't think that there's some gigantic gap.
By the way, Mason Rudolph career, 8-4-1. 8-4-1.
Yeah.
3-0 last year.
Right. 8-4-1. 6-3.5. I mean, yeah, good numbers.
Good numbers. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into some of the position battles at Titans training camp coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
There's still a time and a place to stress. We stress these guys mentally as far as the scheme goes. We install a lot. There's a lot of football in. That part's probably stressful. You know, specifically, I can't comment on guy to guy, but I would say, you know, I know Will said that the other day, and I took it as he feels less stressed as a second-year player, not as many things to worry about that you are as a rookie. It feels more comfortable. So I can't speak to all of them, but hopefully there's still a little stress. That's a good thing. Stress makes you grow, so there'll be some of that.
That's Brian Callahan at the Titans practice at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron says, in my opinion, I would have grabbed a backup quarterback before I would have gotten Pollard, because at the time there are actually better serviceable quarterbacks for the job. This is from Ron on the text line.
Such as, I mean, I'm really asking who would have been, not that Mason Rudolph was the belle of the ball or anything, but who would have been a better choice?
Who would you rather have, Mason Rudolph or Jameis Winston? Take out the pure entertainment purposes, because my answer will always be Jameis for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's close. Jameis Winston is probably more of a guy who could win you a game. I mean, lose you one too.
Yep.
But can win you a game. So that'd be close, but I mean, it's not. It's kind of 6-1, half dozen the other on that one for me. Who else?
Well, I mean, like Gardner Minshew ended up with the Raiders. Yeah. Now, he also, I think, is going to have a chance to play.
Yeah, Minshew. Exactly. Minshew had got himself to the point where he's going to be one of those guys who finds the vulnerable starter, the young starter, whatever. I suppose you could look at this job and think the same thing, but if you paid close attention, Will Levis and what he did last year has him in a stronger position than like AOC out in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Minshew, possible, but I don't know. I disagree. I think as much as you want to have a good backup, it's important, no question, and it's the idea of basically, can we get through a couple games and win these games? I think you can do that with Mason Rudolph, and I think that getting a guy like Pollard, who, by the way, had, what, a 70-yard TD catch Saturday,
yeah,
is more valuable than that.
So we all know that there's a position battle at right guard, position battle at right tackle, and we'll see – you know, how those two positions play out here. Are there any other battles in camp that are intriguing to you? Because I'm looking around. I mean, we know who the starting quarterback is going to be. We know, I think, who the top three wide receivers are going to be. You know, tight end looks like it's going to be, you know, by committee, I guess, but two guys, Wiley and Chig, really stand out there. There's not a ton of spots that are available on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, there's safety, right? Like, and we know that they brought in Jamal Adams. They've got Elijah Molden back there. You know, when guys are healthy, we know the three corners that are going to be there. We know, I think, the two edge rushers. We know what the plan is up the middle on the defensive line. So are there Are there any position battles that stand out to you other than the one on the offensive line that are actually interesting and that are worth monitoring? Or do you feel like this is a team that, for the most part, has their starters pretty much set and you're just trying to fill in the pieces behind them from a depth perspective?
The inside linebacker would be the one that I'd look at maybe, but I don't have a great feel for that right now. But that's possible. I think inside linebacker could get interesting. Look, I mean, Kenneth Murray he's flying around, and he looks like a guy who has the ability to be a first-round pick. Like, so how's that look when real football is being played? I don't know, but I think, you can probably lock him in. Can you lock in Gibbons right now? At this point, I think it's pretty secure, but I think it's early enough to think that that could get interesting. So that'd be one. And then safety is interesting in terms of, again, I'd agree with the chorus of people who are noticing Jamal Adams in a positive way. He, you notice his voice out there. I think he's moving pretty well. I still feel like what they're doing with him now just makes sense for him and his history. But I suppose it's possible that he could play so well that they start to say, okay, maybe it does make sense to have Adams Hooker back there as opposed to Molden Hooker. That would be one. And like you said, tight end, I look at it as either or, and they're both going to play a lot, but I suppose you could classify that as a position battle. And if that's the case, I think Josh Wiley is definitely showing up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that one's going to be interesting. I think regardless of who starts there, you're going to see them both play a lot. I think you'll see Adams, whether he's quote-unquote starting or not, you'll probably see him on the field a lot too. So in some cases, it doesn't overly matter who the starter is and who it's not. I mean, some of that's going to depend on, especially offensively, what formation they line up in and how they start and all those things. Brian from Hendersonville, what about kickoff returner? Have you gotten a sense of this is going to be, I think, one of the things in the preseason that's really interesting to monitor. And it's not like guys and teams are going to go out there in the preseason and show you everything they're doing at kickoff return. But clearly, the kickoff return with the new rules is going to be a bigger factor in games this year, and they're trying to make that a more exciting play. I am really interested to see not only the Titans, but how the whole league handles this new rule. And from a Titans standpoint, who ends up back there, who ends up with the ball in their hands with the new kickoff rules. It's going to be very fascinating.
Yeah, and I just don't have a great feel because, as we've talked about, some teams, maybe the Titans included, would be more inclined now to use, an offensive regular in that spot. Like, I don't know, could a Tajay Spears be a good option there, for example? And there's been some discussion of that. So just at this point, don't really have a great feel for that, and that's a preseason game. Definitely, just to see those things actually play out and what it's going to look like in the preseason game, and I think that'll be also give a lot more indication about who from the Titans could be in line for that.
Yep, I'm really interested to see how that part of it plays out. And then now, Petit Frere, when's he going to be back out there, and when is that actually going to be a legitimate battle that lasts throughout camp at right tackle? That's the main positions that we're going to be looking at is who's starting at right guard, who's starting at right tackle, and what does that ultimately look like for the Titans? Is there a path to that not being a weak spot for the Titans on the offensive line at both spots?
Yeah, this week is, I'd say, pretty important to have Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Pads are coming on.
Pads are on tomorrow and Wednesday, and they really need competition there. John Ojukwu, has good for him. He's put himself in position to be in a competition, but I feel like if Nicholas Petit-Frere doesn't come out and pretty quickly establish himself as the right tackle,
it's not good.
Yeah, then I don't. I think that you have to be concerned. I think I'm also, especially with Sadiq Charles, I think kind of solidifying himself at right guard. I mean, early on, but I think he's got a really good chance there. And of course, he has the Bill Callahan history. I do wonder a little bit about, like, is it possible that, like, Radins would be better off? But Radins was told this offseason, you're a guard. He worked out and everything with that in mind. So that would be quite a pivot. He, of course, has been all over the place. I'm just saying, just trying to think of the possibilities, because I just don't think Duncan or Charles are really
– Yeah.
Jaron Christian, right? Yep. Jaron Christian, yeah. I don't see those guys as great options there right now. It just doesn't seem that way. So there's a lot on Petit Frere. There is. There's just a lot on Petit Frere being healthy, being ready, being in great shape, and, you know, being a solid player. And I do believe he can be. I do believe that he has the talent to do that. But again, I think there's just a lot on him, despite all these different players that they have. You know, it just right now, it just he looks like. I mean, we also have Watson too. You don't forget Roy Watson. I think he's kind of working a lot on the left side, but there are a lot of guys. But at this point, they need someone who really stands out to be a right tackle.
Wes in Clarksville, how's our kicker? Is he doing good? I have not heard word one about Nick Folk throughout training camp, which is probably a good thing.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Wyatt had him down he takes stats on all that stuff. So I think he had him, I think, missing one Saturday, which was, I think, a 45-yarder, and he made a 45-yarder too. So 6 of 7, I think, if I'm not looking at it right now, but that's off the top of my head what he did. So, yeah, he's good.
Ain't worried about Nick
Folk.
He's
good. Yeah, that's not a concern. And Stonehouse, I mean, the rehab paid off. The work paid off. I think they're going to be in good shape there too. By the way, just real quick, I'm going back and forth on the text line. Did you think that Brian Callahan sounds like Patrick Mahomes / Kermit the Frog?
I do not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll have to listen again.
Mahomes has a very unique voice, unique sound.
Yeah, I don't think that at all. I think I've told you guys he has similar voice and personality to my cousin, whose wedding I officiated this summer, and it's very weird for me sometimes. Like, God, I swear Brian Callahan is my cousin Casey. But I've not thought about Patrick Mahomes / Kermit the Frog listening to him talk.
I did not. That did not come to mind when that clip just played coming back into this segment. So I don't know. I mean,
I will. I'll give it another listen, though.
Yeah, we'll give it another listen.
Sure, sure.
But I have not walked away from a Brian Callahan clip and thought to myself, "Man, even Mahomes sounded like." Yeah. I got some clips for you later of my new favorite person in the National Football League coming up with a robbery.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that.
Let's look forward to that at 7:45. Coming up next, some very good news on the recruiting front for the Tennessee Volunteers. What does it mean for that program and for Josh Heupel? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
If you want to know which program that's not currently at the head table of college football will probably be the next one given their current trajectory, it's Tennessee. Josh Heupel is very cerebral about how they recruit. It's not checkers, man. It's more chess to that guy. And he's very, very intentional about what they do. They're very intentional, and they're excellent at how early they identify kids and how ahead of the curve they are in evals. They're really good at that. And that just means that they get a head start on some other programs with kids they're going to end up competing with. Number two, the NIL structure is top-notch there. If you don't know any better, you think that just means they have a lot of money they can throw around. They do have a lot of money they can throw around. That is not NIL recruiting anymore. It was for about 5 minutes. For about 5 minutes, NIL was who can offer the most money. It was just very surface-based. Okay, real recruiting in the NIL era is several layers deep. It is not just, I can get you this much money over this many years. There is an entire plan that has to be laid out. And secondly, if you're recruiting top-end players, they're getting money from anywhere they go. So the money, ironically, is not what pushes most of these recruitments over the finish line. It's the plan. Okay, Texas is brilliant at this. Oregon's brilliant at this. There are a couple other programs that are recruiting halfway decently right now that I think have a ways to go in that. Tennessee, though, is one of the sneakiest, well put together NIL operations in college football right now. Not just because they've got money they can spend, it's because they understand not just the A part, but the B, C, D, E, F, G part as well. And thirdly, there is excellent synergy up there.
That's Josh Pate last night on Late Kick Live discussing Tennessee, the recruiting from Josh Heupel, and the NIL structure that they've got in place up there. Tennessee doing very well on the recruiting front right now. They got another big recruit over the weekend. Laganza Hayward committing to Tennessee, a four-star safety. I think was in the mix with Georgia, in the mix with Florida, and Tennessee ends up winning the battle for him, which brings their recruiting class, Joe, in 2025. At the moment, according to 24/7 Sports, their composite ranking, the number five class in America. Ohio State's at one, Alabama two, Georgia three, LSU four, Tennessee at five, ahead of Notre Dame, A&M, Oklahoma, Miami, Oregon. So right now, and this will change, and we'll see if it changes to the positive for Tennessee, if it changes to the negative. But at the moment, they got the number five recruiting class in America for 2025. And they're still in the mix for a couple other guys. You know, David Sanders is a five-star offensive lineman that Tennessee is heavily in the mix for. We'll see if they land him. I mean, he's getting recruited by everybody, so we'll see what that looks like. But the bottom line is things are going really well for Josh Heupel and the Vols from a recruiting standpoint right now. What do you make of where they're at, the recruiting that they've done to this point, a top five class in America at the moment? Is this starting to be what Tennessee is in terms of recruiting with the big boys? They've been kind of on the cusp of it, and they've had some top 10 classes, some top 12 classes. When you start to get into top five, that's elite territory at that point. Do you think this is starting to be what Tennessee is under Josh Heupel?
Well, it's July, so I've seen so many, snapshot classes in July turn out in, well, it used to be February, but now in December to be a lot less than that. And sometimes that has to do with the season. I mean, I think the season's huge. I think, keeping guys and also attracting more guys, winning some battles. They're in the right battles. They keep getting defensive guys. We talked about that last week, right? Like, their defensive recruiting is great. You know, need to see more of it pay off in the back end on the field. But a really interesting comments there from Josh Pate about the NIL. I'd like a little more explanation on that. But his point being, it's not as simple as, there's an organization to it, and there's a plan to it and things like that. And look, Tennessee, Spire Sports, I mean, they've been out front really the whole time, right? I mean, they existed before. Like, Alabama's freaking out, Nick Saban's, calling everybody to bust out the paychecks when Spire Sports is humming along. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they would be, that they would be among the best operations. They've had a head start, and they've kind of been able to refine it and things like that. Also, I mean, I think what he said there is really interesting in terms of, and I always believe this, it's like you're going to have a market, and there's misinformation and stuff like that, of course, and it'd be great to have everything out there for everybody to see, and maybe that happens as the model changes, but you're still going to basically set a market, and then it's like, okay, so then – you're going to pick schools because you like the coach or you like the whatever. I mean, I think a lot of it is this place going to get me ready for the bigger money in the NFL? Players at this level, that's what they're thinking about. That's what they should be thinking about, even though so few of them will actually, have successful NFL careers. But still, that's the goal, and you should be focused on that goal. So there's a lot that goes into it beyond it. I mean, everybody's going to get paid if you're that level of player, and it's probably not going to be that big of a difference from one place to the next. So, well, what else is there that draws you to school? I think that's a huge deal for Tennessee in terms of early evaluations. That's what they've got to do. If they want to be able to beat out Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, these top schools, if you have built a relationship earlier and they know, and this happens, this definitely has always happened in recruiting. They were on me first. There's a certain loyalty there. I know them better. And like, they believed in me before these people came in late and just tried to poach me. So I'm going to go with the original team. And if there's not that big of a difference in the quality of everything, that's when you win. So Tennessee, it's all great right now. Better have a good season, though. Because I think last year they lost some. I know last year they lost some guys as the season kind of went downhill a little bit.
Well, and I think, too, like they've done even beyond Nico. They've done really well at recruiting quarterback. Like they got Merklinger in there. They got George McIntyre committed for next year's 2025 commit from Brentwood Academy.
Yep,
like a 4-star guy. They've done really well at recruiting quarterback. It would serve them really well from multiple fronts. Obviously on the field, but also in recruiting, if Nico goes out this year and plays really well. Like, if he's awesome in this offense. And then eventually, if that leads to him getting drafted high, that's gonna help them a lot when it comes to continue to recruit that position.
I mean, maybe the most important thing for Tennessee is definitely somebody to work out in the NFL so that stuff can die, because people are still saying it, I promise you, out there. And Ethan for Lawrence, bro, that's true. They got two big commitments. They got a flip from Oregon. So, JC in Goodlettsville, you kind of just said the counter of what I said, but I'm going to read your text. I don't think we have good recruiting anymore. Just rate the recruiting budget they have to work with. Joe, has anyone at the Athletics submitted freedom of information requests to get payments to kids? First of all, JC, Spire Sports is a private enterprise, so there is no freedom of information to get payments to kids. Now, if the model changes and this becomes an employer or some kind of thing, then that could be possible. Now, yep. I promise you, these people don't want it to be FOIA-able.
Yes.
Freedom of Information Act-able. But right now it is not, of course. And as far as – it's just not that simple, JC. It's not – again, these schools all have huge budgets. They all – and it's probably right around $20 million a year, is right around $15 to $20 million a year, and it's going to go up. So it's not just that. It's not – it really isn't. Like, you know, if you basically are going to get the same – yeah, sure, we'll give you a little bit more. But, I mean, that's such a – narrow view. Like, for the most part, any kids who have any sort of adult, even like good agents are going to also be like, okay, let's talk about this too. It's still your future. Yes, there are some rogue agents out there who are giving kids BS lines and things like that, but like, good agents are also still going to have their client's best interest in mind, because you know what's great for the agent? That guy becoming an NFL player and you getting 3% of a way bigger paycheck down the road.
Well, and from the overall class standpoint, I mean, the transfer portal, it is what it is, and you can certainly find some impactful players out of that. But if you're going to build a program that has long-term success, you've still got to be very, very good at recruiting high school athletes. Tennessee doesn't have to finish in the top five, but if you found a way to be in the top 10, top 7, top 8, like, that's really good from Josh Heupel. So, again, it's July. This is going to change, and they may move up some. They may move down some, depending on a couple of guys that they're still targeting. But this is a really good spot for Tennessee to be in right now, with in late July being the number 5 recruit class in America.
Well, and it's without some of the artificial momentum that you see in recruiting that can kind of inflate things. One, like the really early stages of a new coaching tenure, sometimes you see that bring momentum. And then also, when you recruit off a season like 2022, right, then that, you know, sometimes that success will help you, which is great. But right now, we're a ways into the Heupel tenure, and they just had an average season last year, and they still have this momentum. That tells me that they are doing some things that are, like, sustainable, and they have a plan that is working, and that's what you got to have. And, yeah, it will never change. We're going to see Georgia, Ohio State, you know, Bama, whoever, the top of the recruiting rankings, and then we're going to see those teams competing for national championships. So, if Josh Pate is right, and Tennessee's, as he said, the next program at the table, I think he said, next program at the big table. Well, I'm still not – I mean, I want to wait and see on that, and I do. Again, I think this season on the field is really important, but you got to be excited if you're a Tennessee football fan overall.
Got to be excited about the way that recruiting is going. And, again, I mean, you've landed a 5-star in Matthews at wide receiver, obviously Nico at quarterback. Can you start to get some of those guys? I mentioned David Sanders earlier, who's an offensive line prospect. He is 5-star. So, like, could you start to land some of those big time? Like, right now, and again, stars are sometimes in the eye of the beholder too. But, I mean, right now, Ohio State's number one class. They got 4 5-stars. Alabama's got 5 5-stars. Georgia's got 2. LSU's got 3. And then Tennessee doesn't have any. So, like, can you start to land, like, some of the super elite guys? That's kind of the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, because even though plenty of those guys won't pan out, things like that, if you can get there's a certain number every year, a finite number of kids who are, everybody would agree, oh, yes, that is a big-time player, and a lot of them do turn out to be just that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, It is time for the Rob Rant. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Son, yes. You just listen to me. Things are going to be fine. That's really the general takeaway.
Oh, no, man. I woke up right here, man. I got a call right after I got jelly.
That's not enough sausage gravy. Come here. Let's pile it on.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Apparently, there's just a lot of talk about biscuits and or sausage gravy on this show that I just don't recognize at the time, but we just got a lot of clips of it, apparently.
Whenever I hear these things, I actually feel better about my weight. I'm like, I could be worse off.
Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, so I've been scouring. I haven't really been scouring. It's just kind of come up. I'm on, TikTok, because I'm one of those cool kids that is on TikTok.
Okay.
And the last few weeks, I've just been stumbling across some clips from Carolina Panthers media availability, which, as you know, I'm sure is very exciting heading into this year.
Okay.
But Xavier Leggett of South Carolina, I believe, should be everybody on Earth's new favorite NFL player.
Okay.
He's got this nice, relaxed, country boy accent from South Carolina, and it is taking the nation by storm. I want to play a couple of clips for you. The first one is right after he got drafted. This is Xavier Leggett. I think the day after he was drafted by the Carolina Panthers.
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up right here, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
So that was the first one that took the nation by storm.
Love it.
Just beautiful. And then the other day in training camp, apparently Xavier Leggett, not very happy with his performance on the field in training camp. Here's what he had to say about it the other day at Carolina Panthers practice.
Training camp has started pretty slow for me. I feel like it wasn't my best, but we got time to continue to make it better. I feel like I wasn't really attention to detail today, so I need to buy in on that for the rest of the practice.
Is that self-evaluation?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I get upset with myself about things like that when I feel like I didn't have the best day and then leave everything out there on the field.
Is that something that the coach has mentioned to you, or was it just something?
It's something I notice about myself.
So I could listen to that guy talk all day. It is unbelievable. And I don't know how I didn't know this before. Like, he was a good player at South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I was distracted by the gooberness that is his head coach at South Carolina that I never got to notice Leggett when he was talking. But that is maybe the greatest accent I've ever heard. It is unbelievable. And I have, I could not care less about how the Carolina Panthers play and what they do this year. And we know that their owner is an absolute moron. But I will be pulling heavily for Xavier Leggett. And I'm very upset that either the Packers or the Titans did not end up with him, specifically the Titans, where we could be talking about this guy every single day.
He kind of sounds like Big Orange Mac.
I mean, he kind of does.
There's a little bit of Big Orange Mac in that accent. So Mullins, South Carolina.
Mullins, South Carolina. And there are people, like, if you read the comments on some of the clips that they play, there's like a lot of people that just don't understand a word that he says. I understood everything. Like, there was not one word he said that I did not understand. Former Titan Darren Bates, I guess, is now involved with the coaching staff in Carolina.
Okay.
And he was on some podcast the other day, and he's like, before you guys ask me about Xavier Leggett, yes, even I can't understand him sometimes. Most of the time I can, but every now and then I'm just like, yeah, dude, I don't know what you just said. It's awesome.
So Bryce Young, talking to friend of the show Cam Wolf, for the NFL Network, says that to understand his accent, quote, you just got to lock in. Can't look away. You can't do something else. You got to lock in when he's talking, and then you'll hear. But if you're not paying attention, it still catches me off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny. We have some fun in the locker room. That is he drags it out, man. But then some of the pronunciations are just magnificent. I'm glad you. I had no idea.
I feel like people need to know about this.
I know. This is good awareness that you're bringing to the table here. Absolutely. Now I got to look up Mullins, South Carolina. Okay. I was like, is Mullins, South Carolina, as small as Climax, Michigan?
It's got to be.
The answer
close.
Is no. However, it is just a population of 3,888. So, you know, it's
not
small.
A lot of folks running around there.
And oh, look at this. I clicked on the Mullins map, okay? And what shows up? What landmarks show? Two landmarks show up. The Piggly Wiggly and the KFC.
Now we're talking.
So, there you go. All right, let's see. I'm trying to see like where Mullins is in the state. It's it's not close to anything. Now I got to know.
Well,
okay.
The thing is, like, I think he could be a pretty good player. Like, we talked about him, you know, potentially for the Titans, you know, if he fell to 38, could he be someone the Titans could target in the draft? So, like, look, the accent is hilarious, and it's awesome, and I'm rooting heavily for Xavier Leggett and Carolina. I hope all of you are as well. But I actually think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player. Like, him at South Carolina last year, he was awesome. And I think he's got a chance to be pretty good at the NFL level.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. I don't think he got enough attention for what it was. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I know you can't stand his coach, but people are sitting here talking about the Green Mile and Waterboy right now. Bubba Gump.
There was a mashup that I also have seen of, I forget the guy's name in Waterboy, but you know.
Yeah.
Where it was just Leggett, and then they flash back to the Cajun guy. I'm like, oh boy. All right.
Oh man. Yeah, I had no idea, man. So I liked him as a player, but I did not know this. So hopefully he becomes a really good player in this league and we get more of that. Then we can get, I mean, people are talking about Callahan sound like Mahomes, which I don't think so at all. But Mahomes absolutely has a Kermit the Frog thing going on.
No doubt.
Which apparently the Raiders are ripping him. Did you see this?
I did see that.
And now Mahomes
probably
is
not
like,
a smart
okay,
move.
We'll see you this year. Yeah, we'll see you on the scoreboard.
That's probably not a smart move.
Geechee. What is Geechee?
I don't know. Okay. Stillman says
all over the text line.
Dude is Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Max Hers texted me and says, contact Elijah for more great Leggett things. He's become an expert on all things low country. I need to get Elijah Campbell's thoughts on Xavier Leggett.
Me tug dog, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
I just hope that people are aware of this now. He might be Bryce Young's favorite target all year.
As Sonny brings up, and Keon Coleman also, I'm a fan of Keon Coleman's game, but also Keon Coleman, his pressers are fantastic too. So
yeah,
we're rooting for him. We're rooting for all the high level of entertainment.
Yeah. Adam from Portland says, growing up around dudes like that, Studley. Randy Moss has that lovable redneck accent, too. Maybe he can be 2.0. That's a high bar, but
yeah,
so.
But Randy Moss, I mean, yeah.
It's a different
like a southern
accent.
Yeah. But this is way better.
This is way better.
Now we need to have Big Orange Mac on again. I need to know what Big Orange Mac thinks about Xavier Leggett's accent, actually.
It's awesome. I can't wait to watch this guy play. And look, maybe your boy, Bryce Young, this year, now that he's got Leggett on his team, maybe this is a breakout year for him.
Well, Bryce Young needs some freaking help, man. People, don't sleep on Bryce Young. Don't give up on Bryce Young. What you saw in college was not a mirage. He had a terrible, terrible team around him last year. So, no, I'm really am. Like, I'm hoping that Xavier Leggett is good and that they and the Canales and, you know, they can figure some stuff out because he did not deserve the crap he had last year.
If you were searching for a reason to watch the Carolina Panthers this year, I've just given you one. You're welcome.
Been a great hype the Carolina Panthers rant.
Yes, it has. Probably something that has never been done before or since on this program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.